We've reached the climax of the NBA season. The finals began on Thursday, and we're going to break it all down for you on Hoop Talks. Welcome, everybody, to Hoop Talks. Justin Pooney, Jelani Goodridge Reed, your favorite hip-hop talking basketball heads.
That's right. That's right, Justin.
And Jelani, the other thing is this show is going to be not a C-plus show, an A-plus show as per usual, right? Because we're talking about the NBA Finals.
Right.
The Denver Nuggets taking on the Miami Heat. Of course, Miami just came off that massacre in Boston where they just dismantled the Boston Celtics. I have to say that. With a lot of things, I was right about that.
Yeah, you were. I know I took the Celtics.
Yes,
I wasn't expecting them to fall flat on their face like that.
Who would have thought that Miami got out of the gates shooting so bad in Game 7?
Yeah.
And then they somehow just turned
the
switch.
Up.
And then Boston was never able to recover. Jaylen Brown's handles were never able to recover. Looking like some people on Twitter out there, Jaylen Brown's handles. Sorry about that. But anyway, enough with the side comments like that. Let's just get right to it. What if you were to grade this matchup as a basketball fan, what would you give it?
I feel like most people would look to other grades. I think it's a pretty good matchup.
Yeah.
I'd probably give it a B.
A B, not a C plus?
I don't know. Maybe you might give it
a
C plus. But I'd go B.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's a kind of a B plus A minus type of thing because, again, people are saying that the Nuggets are getting disrespected in the media. They're not getting talked about enough.
Mike Malone,
yeah. Right? Then they have Miami, the second eighth seed to ever make it to the finals, the first play-in team to ever make it to the finals,
yeah.
Right? Amazing story. Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo. But I think this could be a very, very good finals. It doesn't have the sexy names like the Lakers, the Celtics, the Warriors. Not the Toronto Raptors, guys. Sorry about that out there. But anyway, I think the basketball here is going to be high quality because you have two of the best coaches. And we're going to talk about the coaches in a couple minutes. But let's do this. Let's do a little exercise here, okay?
Let's
rank the players that are the most important.
Like for this series.
Exactly. So obviously Nikola Jokic is number one with a bullet. He's also the favorite to win Finals MVP.
Yep.
Then it's probably Jimmy Butler. I think that's very clear.
Butler.
But then after that, it kind of gets kind of murky. Where is it a Bam? Is it a Jamal Murray? I think I'd put Jamal Murray ahead of Bam.
I'd probably say Bam.
Mm-hmm.
I'd put Bam because if he doesn't show up in this series, it's gonna be a very quick series.
Right.
He's gonna have to be aggressive, and I need to see him on the defensive side too. Show us why you've been considered to be one of the better defenders in the NBA over the last few years. And we've seen him at times really struggle these playoffs. Let's just face it, even the last series.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to have to step up. You're playing Jokic. This is not some other dude. Okay? Al Horford gave him the business at times last series.
55-year-old Al Horford.
That's right. So I really need, if you're taking the Heat in this series, you're going to need Bam Adebayo. That's why I'd put him third.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I'd look at Jamal Murray, obviously, because he's been balling.
You know what? I'm going to say this. I think Aaron Gordon needs to be in that conversation with the Bam and the Jamal Murray because he's going to be taking on the Jimmy Butler assignment, most likely. And he played it's been a minute since we've seen the Nuggets play after they swept the Lakers, but he played really good defense on LeBron James. And he's going to have to guard Jimmy Butler. And that might be a difficulty for Jimmy because Aaron Gordon's a big guy.
We
know how athletic he is. It's going to cause some problems. But to your Bam point, he's, of course, undersized, but he's a lot more athletic than Nikola Jokic, right? If he can make Nikola Jokic work, because you're not going to stop him, right? He's going to get his. But if you make him work and make him lose some of his efficiency, then Miami's got a chance. I think that's the key to this.
And on that point, you could try to get him in foul trouble. Mm. You're not going to stop him, obviously, like you just said. But if you could get him in foul trouble, when he's playing defense, his defense is okay.
Yeah.
That would help you a ton.
Absolutely.
If you get him in early foul trouble, especially.
Takes him off the court.
That's why I think Bam has to be aggressive. There's no doubt about it.
Okay, so let's round up the top five most important players. So I was going to say Nikola Jokic is the most... Let's do best players. Most impactful players this series,
most impactful,
So we'll do Nikola Jokic number one, Jimmy Butler number two. You're going to say...
I got to go Bam three. Because his impact is so important.
Because on both sides of the court. Okay, we'll say Bam three.
Like, he needs to show up.
Yeah. Then Jamal Murray, because I think Jimmy will be on Jamal most of the time, I would think, right?
Yeah.
And then I'll go Jamal four, and then we'll say...
The fifth, I mean...
You could say Michael Porter Jr., you could say Aaron Gordon.
For me, I look at MPJ. Because let's say he gets going.
Mm-hmm.
When he's hot, these guys are even tougher to stop, the Denver Nuggets. So if Michael Porter Jr. can find that shot earlier on in this series, let's say game one, game two, he shoots at a high clip, he's going to feel good about himself. He's going to be comfortable. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. And we saw it at times during their run where he was shooting the ball well. That opened up everything for their offense as well. So I'm not just looking at Jokic, not just looking at Murray. I know those guys are balling. They're having a great time, these playoffs and all that. But if you could get that third guy like a MPJ, that's even worse for the Heat. The Heat don't have a great defense anyway. No. They play – they're a collective
They don't have individual great defense.
Yeah. They're more of a collection of guys that have effort on that side of the ball, but they're not a great defense at all. So if you got a guy, another weapon out there who's big, he's bigger than the guys that will be guarding him anyway. We saw the Lakers struggle with him too. So I think he's going to have to be that impactful.
Before you go to coach, just want to read off some of the favorites for the MVP, the finals MVP, according to FanDuel. Nikola Jokic is a big favorite right now, minus 340. Jimmy Butler plus 430. Jamal Murray plus 1200. Bam Adebayo plus 4000. Caleb Martin should have been Eastern Conference Finals MVP. Caleb Martin plus 6500. And then your boy MPJ, Michael Porter Jr. at plus 13,000. It's got to be Jokic.
It's got to be.
It's going to be Jokic. It's going to be Jokic if they win, and it's going to be Butler if they...
Yeah, you know that.
Yeah.
Unless someone does something miraculous, it's
going to
be those.
And I will say this. I think the Nuggets are the third heaviest favorites going to an NBA Finals, according to Vegas, in history.
And the heaviest since the LeBron Cavs of 2018 played the Warriors.
Exactly. So. And I think, look, I just can't... Like, we'll give our predictions at the end, but I just can't disrespect the Miami Heat and Heat culture.
That's true. Like, right? I love the Heat culture, and I love Eric Spoelstra. I felt like my prediction was in jeopardy. Remember, I had the Celtics, right? But I knew once he said we're going up there and winning in Boston, there's just something different about them. And Pat Riley, you have to give him a shout out as well. What he's done with that organization, they've been to the most NBA Finals since 06, seven times. So this is a group that understands.
What is it, like 19% of NBA Finals?
Pat Riley.
Pat Riley's been a part of, right?
That's literally like a quarter of the NBA Finals in history he's been.
Well.
Like, that's crazy.
And Pat Riley, of course, one of the greatest coaches of all time.
So.
His successor, Mike O'Donnell, is one of the greatest coaches of all time, too. And Eric Spoelstra and Mike Malone, who's, again, asserted himself as one of the best coaches in the NBA. This matchup might actually be the most intriguing one for me. Jimmy Bam, Aaron Gordon, Jimmy Butler, whatever on the court. This, to me, right here, might be the best matchup of the NBA Finals, because I think these are the two best coaches in the NBA.
Yeah,
right.
I agree with that.
Right, Eric Spoelstra is a 3-time champion, 1 time as assistant, 2 times as a head coach.
It's still, to me, like, I remember Sade, she once said, "Is it a crime?" It is a crime that he has not gotten a Coach of the Year.
It is.
It's like, such a crime.
Remember, was it the top coaches of all time when they did the All 75 team?
Yeah, and I remember that too.
Eric Spoelstra, was he?
I don't know if he.
We'll have to double check that. I don't know if he was on that list, but anyway, I think what he's done with this team. Right, people said yes, they were the number one seed last year, but they had to deal with so many injuries.
Yep.
They had to do a lot of inconsistency this year. And the fact that this team with guys like Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, right, Caleb Martin, a guy who J. Cole, another hip hop reference. Sorry for everybody out there that doesn't understand hip hop like that. But J. Cole had to call Caron Butler to say, "Yo, give this guy a chance." And look what happened.
That's literally something out of NBA 2K.
It actually is.
It's crazy.
It is. The fact that he had to call J. Cole.
So J. Cole is really the MVP of the conference.
But then again, you look at Michael Jordan again with the Hornets fumbling the bag on something else. But when I look at this matchup, Jelani, is this kind of the battle to see who the best coach in the league is, or is it kind of just cemented that Eric Spoelstra is the best coach?
I think it's a battle for that, because also on the other side, you're looking at Mike Malone, and I feel like since getting to Denver, he's done a really good job.
Yeah.
And it's true. They haven't gotten talked about enough, in my personal opinion. They've been consistent. They've been there year after year. They've made playoff runs. Remember, they did in the bubble, go to the conference finals, now in the finals. So he's been here. He's been around the block, and he's done a good job with the group that he's been given. And now that they're healthy for once, because that was a question. Can they be healthy? Can Jamal Murray stay healthy? Can MPJ stay healthy? That was a question. Now that they are, you're seeing what they could have been all these years. And that's due to Mike Malone as well. And he's gotten the most out of this group. So I do think this is the battle of the top two in the league.
Well, you look at Mike Malone's coaching history. Again, it's we know the story about Eric Spoelstra coming up to the video room of the Heat and building his way up to become an assistant and the head coach under that Pat Riley and Mickey Arias, that Heat culture. Like he was saying that Pat Riley's the godfather of Heat culture, but he's the caretaker of Heat culture.
Yeah,
right?
I can see that.
And I think that was an awesome representation of what he said. Like, you know, he is the guy that's supposed to take the messaging for Pat Riley and give it to the players, and they've done that. They built that. I think the Heat culture next to the Spurs, you got to put in the same light as the Spurs, sure. The Warriors. Again, maybe not the Bulls of the 90s, but it's in that Spurs, that Warriors mentality.
Because it's stable.
It's stable. Like, yeah. When you talk about stability and organization, from top to bottom, the Miami Heat are one of the most stable organizations we've ever seen in the NBA. Yeah. And when you look at Mike Malone, just his track record, you know, he started off with the Knicks in the kind of a dark period with Isaiah Thomas. Then he goes to Cleveland with a young LeBron, gets to learn under a young LeBron and being a part of that system. Then he goes to Golden State under Mark Jackson, just at the beginning of that new dynasty, that new era. Then he was a head coach, of course, in Sacramento for a couple of years.
When he got fired, I was actually mad. Yeah. I felt like they made a big mistake.
Look, and come, how many years did it take the Sacramento Kings to finally get back to relevancy, right? And then he's been in Denver, and they were a rebuilding team just after the Carmelo Anthony era. And now they slowly built this team back up to now where they're a Western Conference contender. They're in the NBA Finals. So I think the two things about these coaches that really impress me is the way they're able to build cultures and build sustainable and successful organizations. Look, Denver, I said Denver has to show me in the playoffs. Well, they showed me in the playoffs this year that Nikola Jokic can be that guy. Jamal Murray can be that number two. Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, you know, guys like KCP, Bruce Brown, they have the right role players in place, and that's why they're such a big favorites. But Mike Malone does deserve all his flowers this year because he has done an excellent job, and we know how great Eric Spoelstra is. I think when it's all said and done, you got to have to talk about Eric Spoelstra being one of the best coaches of all time.
Because he's consistent, man. He wins. That's all he does. And he shows up in the conference finals every year, and he's been to the finals plenty. So you got to give him that respect.
Now we've reached the climax of the show or the block. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you our NBA final predictions. So Jelani, who wins? Who's the finals MVP? And what color is the Gatorade?
The Gatorade. Are there odds on that right now?
I don't think so. I'll have to pull it up. Maybe that.
But I got to go Denver.
Denver?
It's tough because we were just talking about Heat culture and that, you know, that run that they've been on. It's, to me, one of the best runs ever. Mm-hmm. This run right here is an all-time run by the Miami Heat. But I just think they run into a better team. So I'd probably say it's going to be a quicker series. Five. I'm going to say five. I wanted to say six, but I just think that Denver has too much offensively. Mm. They're bigger, so I don't know how the Miami Heat are going to deal with that. We'll see. Yes, they had success against the Bucks. Yes, they had success against Boston, but this is a different squad. Boston is a team that's really talented, but they don't get it done. They don't finish you off. Denver's not going to give them a chance. If they're up, they're not going to give Miami a shot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So Mike Malone's going to tell them to finish them. So I think this is going to be a quicker series. Nikola Jokic will prove once again how great he is. He's going to prove once again why he is the best center in the game and has been the best center in the game. And I think that the Denver Nuggets are going to be, just vibing.
Vibing in the mile high.
I need Melo out there game one.
Yeah, if Carmelo Anthony's not at game one of the NBA Finals, that's a travesty by the Denver Nuggets.
No, seriously.
The Kroenke family, you better be calling Carmelo Anthony.
That's right.
We need him there on Thursday.
We need him there. Chauncey.
I don't know if Chauncey's going to be the head coach of the Blazers.
AI even. Bring him. Bring.
I need J.R. Smith, like, Carmelo Anthony, Kenyon Martin, Marcus Camby, Nene, I need them all.
Like, seriously. Like, so, yeah, but I think that I got the Nuggets in this series. And I want to see, though, real quick, Tyler Hero. He should be back
for game three.
I think that's going to, a lot of people are like, oh, no, don't play him. Buddy, he's too talented not to play. Now, don't mess up the rotation. He's going to have to play. You're going to take down his minutes, but he is a guy that could give you a boost in terms of scoring. He is their second leading scorer on the year. I get it. He's going to be hunted on defense. But still, like, I just think he's too good of a player not to put back or ease back into the rotation. I know.
Okay, so Nikola Jokic is your finals MVP. Denver Nuggets in five.
Yeah.
I want to say Miami Heat in six. I want to.
Say that.
You know what? I am going to say
be confident in
Miami Heat in six games. Miami's going to win, steal game one. in Denver because Denver is going to be rusty. Miami's going to win game one. They're going to win two games at home. They're going to lose game five, and they're going to come back home to South Beach and win the NBA Finals at home. The eighth seed is going to win the NBA championship.
That'd be crazy, man.
Jimmy Butler is going to cap off a historic one. And here's the other thing. We've heard about Gabe Vincent. We heard about Caleb Martin. Yep. We haven't heard a lot about Max Strus yet.
Strus.
Right? And I want to say this also. Kyle Lowry, finals experience, champion, yep. Right? Let me ask you this quickly, though. If Kyle Lowry wins the NBA title, how does that rank amongst the all-time Raptor moments?
Oh, bro, we're taking that. We're claiming that. You know that. You know that, too.
Oh, man.
And Jamal, if he wins, it's a Canadian moment, too.
It's a Toronto thing. Okay, yes. I get it. But look, I'm going to go, yeah, you know what? My head's saying Miami, but you know, my head's saying Denver, but I'm going to go with my heart. I want the Miami Heat to win the NBA Finals in Game 6. Jimmy Butler's your Finals MVP, and Heat culture once again is cemented as kings of the NBA. That's all time we have for Hoop Talks. For Jelani Goodridge-Reed, I'm Justin Pooney. That's my laminate wall in the background. If you don't like it, we'll deal with it. We'll see you later on Friday.
Almost 2 weeks into the WNBA season, and we're going to rank the top five players and their performances right here on Hoop Talks. Welcome into Hoop Talks. I'm Karina Mustafa alongside Noor Zainab, and we have chosen our top five players in the WNBA season to start off based on their performances. I know it's a small sample size. We're like not even 2 weeks into it, but I'm excited. Are you excited?
I can't wait. This has been the highlight of my day. Screw you, Raptors.
I love it. The W is superior. Anyway, let's get into it. At number five, we have Aaliyah Boston of the Indiana Fever. The number one draft pick this year, Aaliyah Boston has shown that she is ready for the professional league. She's averaging 15.8 points per game, 6 rebounds per game, and 2 assists per game, and she's shooting 66.7% from the field. That's in the top five in the league. She's been seeing lots of coverage in her matchups, but this rookie has not been afraid to post up and shoot the ball. She was a big part of the Fever's first win of the season last week, and she even hit a clutch three against the Connecticut Sun to keep it close in the final seconds. So I got her at number five.
Ooh, I like that one. I was thinking, I'm like, how do you even pick who you're supposed to pick? But I got Satu Sabally at number four. Miss Dallas Wing. She's the 2020 number two draft pick, and she's finally having a healthy season for the Wings. We're all happy to see that. So why should you pay attention to her? Well, while on a team with none other than Arike Ogunbowale, she's quickly rising as a star, averaging 22.3 points, 9 rebounds, and 3.3 dimes. They've won 3 out of their 4 games so far this season with her healthy. So in addition to her scoring, she's also been alive on the glass, recording 11 rebounds in the last game the Wings played against the Minnesota Lynx, and she's been an all-star, a WNBA Rookie of the Year, so her accolades are only going to increase as her career continues on.
She's been super impressive to start the season. I honestly think like she could be entered into the most improved player campaign as well. So I'm really excited for her. At number three, though, we've got her teammate, which you kind of just mentioned, Arike Ogunbowale. She's averaging 25.3 points per game, 3.8 rebounds per game, and 1.8 assists per game. She won a Player of the Week this week, and she's been leading the offense with a lot of confidence while also improving on a defensive side of the ball this year, and I think that's been important as well. In addition to her scoring, the Wings are 3-1, and a large part of that has been thanks to her and her playing her own game.
I like that one. I knew we had to bring her on somewhere, but I was also like, we gotta include the aces somehow, but which one of the aces? Which one?
Yeah.
It's gotta be Jackie Young, guys. It's gotta be Jackie Young. At number two, I took her. She was drafted first overall in 2019 to the Las Vegas Aces, and since then she's been coming into her own as a player. She made the WNBA All-Rookie team in her first year, and shortly after, last year in 2022, she won Most Improved Player of the Year while her team went and got the championship. And after helping her team win that, she's looking to defend it this season, and honestly, she's gonna do it. She's doing it well all year long so far. Again, small sample size, but you know who she is. The Aces are undefeated. I mean, we knew that. Undefeated.
Yeah,
It's going to be like that anyway. Undefeated in four of their games so far this season. And Jackie Young is averaging 23 points, 4.3 rebounds, and 3 dimes on 61.8% from the field. Talk about efficiency. Crazy. So am I really telling you to keep an eye on Jackie Young on a team with Asia Wilson, Kelsey Plum, Candace Parker, and Chelsea Gray? Yes, I am. And you know why? Because she's been their leading scorer so far in all those games, shooting the ball with confidence and running out in transition right afterwards. So I think the MVP talks are going to happen again this time around, Karina.
Absolutely. I've loved her so far for the Aces. But at number one, we have somebody from the other super team. I don't know. I have to do quotes when I talk about super teams. But at number one, we have Breonna Stewart, otherwise known as Stewie of the New York Liberty. She's been the MVP for this team so far. She's leading her, like I just said, so-called super team to a 3-1 start, which all of that has included performances like the 45 points through three quarters that she had last week, which was absolutely incredible. I couldn't even, like... Wow. But the former Defensive Player of the Year is also averaging 1.8 blocks per game. And she's looked to be a really great fit for this Liberty team. They're always sending the ball to her. They're always making sure she's getting touches. And I think without her, they probably could not have won some of the games they have this year yet. So I'm comfortable with her being our number one player.
I'm okay with that too. I mean, it's fitting that it's number one New York Liberty, number two the Aces. And you could even swap them and see how it goes. But they've got to be the super team. They might meet in the end. Might be a Breonna Stewart versus Jackie Young show off. And WNBA fans are in for a treat. What a season to be excited for all these players.
Absolutely. And we are going to keep coming back to Hoop Talks for more coverage of the WNBA. Maybe these top five change. We'll see. It'll probably change with every week. Mm-hmm. But those are our top five players so far. So let us know if you guys agree with that, if we snubbed anybody, if you want to include anybody else in the top five.
If you don't like our rankings,
list.
If you want it different. We're flexible. We're cool people.
Exactly. We thought we'd shine some light on some of these players. But make sure to return to Hoop Talks for more WNBA coverage throughout the summer.